Well, for this third devotional on comfort, I wanted to read from the Sick Man's Comfort book by Philip Bennett Power, an Irish pastor in the late 1800s. It's entitled God's Comfort in Sickness. We must keep close to thoughts of God. We must meet Satan's dark thoughts and suggestions about God with bright thoughts about him. For if we do not, he will always be able to bring God up terribly against us. However we may divert our minds, the evil one will always keep saying, but ah, what about God? All is not right with him. And what's more, all never can be. But if we have gone to God and have well-assured thoughts of him, then God can never come before us as a dark shadow, only as light. We shall know him as a father indeed, and if Satan comes to vex us with thoughts about him, we shall say, we know who he is, our Father who is in heaven. I consider then God's character as my great help to believing him to be a God of comfort. And, first of all, from the mere fact of his being generous, we may judge that he is very likely to be a God of comfort. Everywhere in Scripture, he's represented to us as a large-hearted God. He is one that has no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but would rather be that he be turned from his iniquity and that he lived. He says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Psalm 81:10. How much more generous God is than man, we have remarkably set before us in what he says to the prophet Jeremiah. Have you seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn unto me. Jeremiah 3:6. Others would have said, be gone, but God said, return. That was generosity indeed. In the first verse of this chapter, God shows that man's way of treating a person under similar circumstances would be very different. But then he is God and not man, and his ways and thoughts are not like our ways and thoughts. His generosity is altogether beyond ours. Happening to open the concordance at this moment, I come upon five texts, one after another, where God is spoken of as being earnestly asked with success. 2 Samuel 21:14, after that God was entreated for the land. 2 Samuel 24:25, the Lord was entreated for the land and the plague was stayed. 1 Chronicles 5:20, they cried and he was entreated of them. 2 Chronicles 33:13, Manasseh prayed and he was entreated of him. Ezra 8:23, we besought our God and he was entreated of us. God, according to Psalm 86:15, is long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And in the parable of the prodigal son, generous dealing is shown to the very full. The father receives the wretched sinner just as he is, and, reproaching him not, restores him to favor, and clothes him in his best robe, and kills for him the fatted calf. Now, if I need anything, it is a great encouragement to me in going to ask for it that I know I will be dealing with a generous person. I feel he will be predisposed to help me, to deal liberally with me, and to do me good. And let this thought comfort you. There is not one miserly word about God in all the Bible. You will be sure to get from him simply because he is what he is, whatever he promised to bestow. And if God be generous, then he will be self-communicative. That is, he will be always outputting good. God is not content with simply having his goodness and keeping it to himself. He spared not his only Son, but freely gave him up for us all. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. If we had to go to a person for anything who is actually wanting to give away the very things we needed, what wonderful spirit it would put into us to go to him for what we wanted. Now, can God have all that would make us happy and comfortable and never bestow a taste on us? Certainly not. Therefore, if you lack, he will communicate himself to you. And what he communicates must be himself, must be like himself, and therefore it must be good. It will be the giving of himself to you as you are and with your particular need. He will pour his streams into all your hollow places, all your dry wells on your parched lands and empty watercourses where you are driest and most in need is the place where he will most surely come. Then we may take comfort from considering that God stands to us in the relation of a father, and forasmuch as he must from his very nature do everything in the best and most perfect manner, and to the fullest extent also, we may be sure he will be to us better than ever any earthly father has been to a son. We have a Father in heaven, and he will not come short in the fulfillment of even one of the functions of a parent. Comfort yourself, then, with the thought that the one with whom you have to do is, in every way, one whose very relationship with you secures your getting what you need. If your father will not comfort you, who will? He is the most likely person to get comfort from, therefore the proper person to go for it. And because he is a father, you may expect all tender comfort. It is through the tender mercy of our God that the day spring from on high has visited us. James tells us that the Lord is very compassionate and of tender mercy in chapter 5, verse 11. The command to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive one another is all grounded on such things in God. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, says Ephesians 4:32. Now, if instead of thus looking at God and at all that is to spring forth from him because he is what he is, we look at ourselves and at all that we deserve, we should have no comfort at all. Comfort will never travel to us by this latter path. We are to look at ourselves, expecting to find all emptiness and not wanting to make the matter one whit better than it is. We must not be surprised, startled, or downhearted at realizing this emptiness. It simply arises from our being what we are. But all the discoveries of God will be of fullness, and in putting the two together must lie our comfort. Bathe your thoughts, then, in God. Be rich in God, poor in yourselves, but rich in him. You see what he is, all his nature, all his sayings, all his doings. Are you comfort? Not comfort for the unrepentant, the independent, and those who think they have no need, but for all who wish to be humble, in need, and to be supplied from a source outside themselves. Say then thus, in your communings within yourselves, who knows so well what God is as himself? All that he has told me leads towards comfort. I will not give God a bad character by expecting only gloom from him. I will not take Satan's opinion about God. What interest can he have but to malign him? I will not take my own deceitful, suspicious, and ignorant heart speculation about him, for from my poor fallen nature they are sure to be warped. I will throw myself upon God as he has revealed himself. I will keep my eyes fixed on him, and I will shut them to everything else. I will keep to what he has revealed, and I can only be what I am, empty. And he can only be what he is, the supplier of that emptiness. Out of his fullness, then, shall I receive, and because he is what he is, I shall have grace to help in every time of need.